We're all quite familiar with the story of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus through Mary and through Mary's own cousin, St. Elizabeth. St. John was chosen by God, even before his conception, to be the forerunner of the Christ. He was to be the last of the prophets, preparing the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist called others to repentance. He called them to a change of life. While he himself lived in the simplicity of the desert near the Jordan River, he was not ashamed, nor was he afraid, to speak the truth aloud, to call people out for their hypocrisy, and declared sin to be exactly what it is. St. John was not seeking any fame or comfort. He was not seeking any human praise from human beings. He wasn't there for riches. In fact, it was quite the opposite. John the Baptist suffered a great deal of persecution and ridicule, and certainly hardship, and eventually he was martyred for the sake of truth and for the sake of Christ. But in all this, he persevered to the very end, and today we realize him to be a saint, just as you and I are called by God to be. Now, our human nature, in and of itself, will try desperately in every possible way to avoid any kind of suffering. We don't like hunger, we don't like thirst, we don't like pain or fatigue, we certainly don't care for humiliation or for loneliness. All these things we would rather not endure if at all possible. Instead, we all aspire to be happy. We want happiness and we want contentment. We want to be liked and be thought well of by others. We'd like to have an easy and uncomplicated life. But reality is, we may not get all of those things. Sadly, our first reaction in the face of something hard or difficult is to run away. We try to find some kind of an escape from it. But as Christians, we realize that, like St. John the Baptist, our vocation is to prepare for Christ's return. Our call is to live and proclaim the truth, and to do this entails sacrifice. Love and suffering go together. Look at the crucifix. The cross is always a constant reminder of that fact, that love and suffering as an act of sacrifice always go together. Our faith helps us to realize and to see that without sacrifice, the soul encounters no true love. Without sacrifice, there is no genuine joy. Without sacrifice, there is no lasting purification. There's not even any possession of God. The way to holiness is and always has been the way of the cross. And anyone who seeks Christ, anyone who seeks Christ without the cross will never find him. This won't happen. Our salvation, brothers and sisters, is found in surrender to God in all things, as we heard St. Paul tell us. We're to offer up our very selves, our bodies, our minds, everything about ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Now, this is a great shock, or to use the religious word, a great scandal to the world. A world that tells us to live only for ourselves. Look out for number one, they tell you. To live for the moment, to seize the day. Live well, laugh often, and forget pain. It's as though for many people, this world and everything in it is all that matters and all that there is. But in reality, again, it's not. There's something beyond all this. And while the worldly minded might still possess the ability to love others, it's usually love only for those whom they choose to love, those who might love them in return. But the heavenly minded, which should be ourselves, are told to love everyone, everyone, as every human being is made in God's image and likeness. We love those not only who love us in return, but even love those who don't love us back, as Jesus commands. The worldly minded can also develop a deep and wrathful anger toward anyone that they don't care for. Christians, on the other hand, are called to love their enemies, to pray for their persecutors, and do good to those who hate us. The worldly minded always fall into agony and despair whenever they lose their possessions, when they lose their prestige, or when they have to face the harsh reality of death. Christians, on the other hand, speak of the prophet Job, saying, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And when death comes, we have the faith of eternal life, the reality of eternal life. The worldly minded have their gaze fixed only on this world, on things here below. a material, physical well-being. They chase after it as though that was all that really mattered, all that really counted. When you think about it, this world and the things therein become idols. They become the new God. It becomes contemporary paganism, turning away from the one true God who calls us to love and to sacrifice ourselves. As the psalm reminds us, deep within every soul, whether one acknowledges or not, deep within the human soul, there's a desperate craving and a thirsting for God, its creator. And if a person decides not to believe in God, if a person chooses to reject Christ, to reject the church, then he or she is going to look for some substitute somewhere else. They try to find their solace in knowledge. They might try to find it in science. They might try to find it in wealth or pleasure or fame, whatever it might be, so on and so on. None of which can satisfy, as all these created things have an end. But the human soul, like God, has no end. God has a beginning. God has no beginning, but we do. God has no end, and we don't. We live forever because of God. We're made in God's image and likeness. Therefore, we must not be conformed to this age, this worldly-minded age that seeks everything but God. Instead, St. Paul tells us to have a renewal of the mind, a seeking of the will of God in prayer, to always seek out and do what is good and what is right by God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. In the heart of every Christian, love for Jesus Christ must burn within us like a fire that spreads throughout our very bones to the point that we can't hold it in, but instead that we manifest Christ in our very being. In every word, every deed, everything about us must always speak of Jesus Christ. No matter what the godless may say or do, they can mock us, they can make us the object of their laughter and derision, but we must always live the life of Christ. If you and I are going to be true disciples, then like the Lord tells us, we have to deny our very sense of self-preservation and our own personal taste. We take up our crosses, whatever form they may come in, and we boldly follow after Christ. Brothers and sisters, whatever you think you might lose in this life because of your faithfulness to Christ will be compensated for 1,000 times more, both in this world and in the next. And that's the promise of Jesus himself. If the Lord Jesus is really and truly the very center of our lives and our whole reason for being, imagine the great effects it's going to have, the wonderful and practical consequences in our everyday lives. If Christ was at the very center of every marriage, then those marriages would be capable of overcoming all obstacles. If Christ was at the very center of every family, then family life itself would be a mutual and generous self-expression between the mother and father and their children. Their children would be born and raised to love and serve the Lord and to love and serve their neighbor. If we made Jesus Christ the very center of our lives in the world, even the world of art and entertainment could become worthy of God and man, and that could become a beautiful expression of the richness of the human spirit. Our works, our everyday labors, when consecrated and dedicated to Christ, take on a sacred meaning, and we do things for the glory of God, not for the satisfaction of men, and everything becomes sacred and holy. In Christ, the foundations of moral living are properly understood, and even the laws of nations will become reflections of God's own divine law. In Christ, and only in Christ, we overcome all fear. We overcome all injustice. In Christ, our sufferings find purification and value. In a word, our sufferings, our sacrifices, our toil, our pain, everything about us, all these things united to Christ crucified become redemptive. We suffer with Christ for the salvation of souls. Suffer with the suffering Christ for our own salvation. And we do this in love. Only the love that is rooted in generosity and sacrifice with Christ will enable us to be saints, to follow the example of those saints who have gone before us, and with them to experience with the Lord Jesus the glory of eternal life.